From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. It's Chloe, August 5th. 10 stories, evidence-led, no fluff, small inputs compound. Let's get into it. First, from Andrea Strong. So, you want to be a food writer. So, you're interested in food writing. If you're the type of person who's always on top of the latest restaurant openings, has a system for tracking them, and is always reading about food online, then a new online class might be up your alley. The class, called So You Want to Be a Food Writer, is a 2-hour basics bootcamp that'll teach you the tools to come up with and pitch your first story. It's happening on September 15th from 5 p.m. 7 p.m. on Zoom, and it's geared towards both beginners looking to launch a career and hobbyists who just want to write about food. The class will cover topics like developing story ideas, pitching to publications, networking, and building your platform. Next, second, from Lindsay Max, Complexity Edge. Am I autistic? Discover for yourself. With this 25-page workbook, a licensed autism assessor created a 25-page workbook to help people explore autism, prepare for assessments, and start conversations about their experiences. The workbook is designed for self-reflection, providing thoughtful insights and data points to guide users in understanding their unique needs and preferences. It can also be used as a conversation starter with therapists, coaches, or assessors. The tool was originally intended to support highly masked adults, but is now being shared more widely to empower individuals in their autism self-identification journey. The author hopes that using this workbook will help people gain clarity and compassion for their individual needs, allowing them to build a life that accommodates their distinct nervous system. Up next. Third, from Lindsay Max, Complexity Edge. Your intuition is not wrong. That's not the point. I'm pulling out the core idea. Intuition isn't a simple right or wrong gauge. For neurodivergent folks, whether autistic, ADHD, or DHD, or otherwise, the common messages are either stop trusting that gut feeling or it's infallible. Both assume intuition can be judged against reality like a fact, but the article argues it's a different kind of signal, more about internal pattern recognition than a factual verdict. Because we treat it as either completely unreliable or absolutely accurate, we end up ignoring useful nuance and can miss opportunities for self-understanding. The takeaway is to view intuition as a guide, not a binary truth test. And then. Fourth, from Off-Grid with Marjorie Wildcraft. An insane business. I've been thinking about that venture you mentioned. Right now, it's basically a product nobody knows exists. The animal you're developing is still off the radar, so there's essentially zero market demand at the moment. You're feeling a mix of doubt and frustration, wondering if you've gone a bit crazy by chasing something so obscure. It's understandable. Many of us have poured time, money, and energy into ideas that later seemed pointless. At the same time, you recognise that you've already invested in projects that didn't pan out, which makes this new direction feel like a chance to salvage something. If you keep the focus on building awareness and finding a niche audience, the zero market label could shift from a dead end to a hidden opportunity. Next. Fifth, from Tell Me Three. Good things. For August 2026. Three good things. I'm thinking about how a simple, well-directed mind can shape our day, just like that Buddha line suggests. On Tuesday, the writer woke up at the perfect moment to catch the sky turning pink, a quiet reminder that timing can be a small joy. Then they enjoyed a Caesar salad that was especially satisfying, with thick ribbons of Parmesan that made each bite feel a little richer. After dinner, they took a walk home, and the stroll turned out to be pleasant, turning an ordinary routine into something nice. They close by asking you to share three good things from your own day. Up next, sixth, from the MKS community by Mastcell 360. Ask anything. MCAS and Histamine Intolerance Live Q&A. So I was listening to this podcast about MCAS and histamine intolerance, and they're sharing some really practical insights from their clinic. They're talking about how these conditions often come with other issues like mold toxicity, nervous system problems, and gut health issues. It's not just about the histamine, but also about how it affects your whole system. They're also discussing food reactions and sensitivities, and how some people may experience flares when they eat certain foods. The good news is that they're sharing some strategies for healing, like working on gut health and reducing inflammation. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach, but rather a more holistic way of looking at your overall health. One thing that stood out to me is that they're emphasising the importance of working with a healthcare professional to figure out the best course of treatment. They're not just talking about supplements or quick fixes, but about making long-term changes to your lifestyle and habits. They're also covering some of the more nuanced aspects of MCAS and histamine intolerance, like how they can affect your nervous system and impact your mood and energy levels. It's not just about the physical symptoms, but also about how these conditions can affect your mental and emotional well-being. Overall, it's a really informative and practical conversation that's worth checking out if you're dealing with any of these issues. And then, 7th, from Parent Fit Club, your 3 p.m. crash isn't your coffee. It's your blood sugar, 20 meals that flatten it, a 2023 systematic review, 8 randomised crossover trials with 116 participants, some with type 2 diabetes, found that walking right after a meal keeps blood sugar spikes lower than walking before the meal or staying seated. The effect drops off the longer you wait, so the sweet spot is within the first 30 minutes, ideally as soon as you can. A few smaller studies add nuance. 3 15-minute walks spread across meals improve 24-hour glucose control more than 1 45-minute walk. And a New Zealand trial showed a 10-minute walk right after each main meal beats a single longer walk later in the day. Bottom line, when the post-lunch or post-dinner dip hits, get up and move for 10 to 15 minutes. It doesn't have to be a jog, just a brisk walk while the kitchen's still a mess. This simple habit can smooth out the crash without changing what you eat. Next, 8th, from Hot Girl Walk R. Hot Girl Walk R to the songs of the summer. We're in the latter half of summer, so I think it's time to say what the songs of the summer are. Summer isn't over yet, so let's soak it in the best way we know how. Turn on the playlist and take this routine outside, on the treadmill, or on your walking pad. If you're taking this routine outside, it follows the Japanese walking method. 3 minutes of fast-paced walking, followed by 2 minutes at your base pace. The songs alternate between a quicker beat and a typical pace. So if you follow the beat of each song, you'll be at the perfect pace for alternating efforts. Up next, 9th, from Heather's IBS newsletter, Help for Irritable Bowel Syndrome, IBS News Flash. Pain Catastrophizing, a small randomized trial tested whether a virtual positive psychology program could help people with IBS. 80 IBS patients were assigned to either usual care or an 8-week podcast-based positive psychology program. The program focused on improving coping and reducing negative pain-related thinking. The intervention did not significantly improve overall GI symptoms, including bloating, bowel symptoms, or abdominal discomfort. But it did reduce pain catastrophizing, the tendency to fear, magnify, or feel helpless about pain. And then, 10th, from Before It Breaks, the biggest study on stress hormones and waist size found a tiny link. Cortisol face, cortisol belly. Lower your cortisol and the weight falls off, so you bought the ashwagandha and started the cold showers and the cortisol cocktail. 6 weeks later, your waist is the same. Now you feel like you failed at that too. What you'll learn in this post, the real size of the cortisol to belly link in one number, why lower cortisol, lose the belly, gets the cause backwards. The stress eating lever that sits in your kitchen. If you take one thing today, take the 9 p.m. swap in the protocol. It's the only part of this whole topic you can act on tonight. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow, that's your brief. Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.